Galatians chapter 1. I need a couple men to help me pass out notes, please. Mr. Hall, thank you. Yeah, you can do that. Jim, thank you. Galatians chapter 1, please. All right, let's all stand, please. So we're going to begin with the most obvious thing before we read. For most of you in this room, this will not be exceptionally exciting. And its intention is not to be exceptionally exciting. Did everyone understand that? I don't have the intention of doctoring this up. We have to decide what in the world is an apostle. And secondly, do we still have apostles? You understand the questions. Because let me say this, if we still have apostles, there is not one iota difference between a charismatic church and the Catholic Church. Both of them believe, listen, in continued revelation. Once you do that, Christianity can change in any direction it wants to change. So the question is, has God spoken? Was the faith once delivered to the saints, or is it continue to change? If you read educated Catholics about Mary, I have the book in my office by a famous Catholic scholar. He says, yes, this is not in the Bible, but we believe in tradition. Therefore, things continue to change because God gives more revelation through various means. So what is an apostle becomes very important. Then do we still have them? What role do they play? I had never been around much of this personally until I came to Lake County. When I ran into a family, Tim would know who, where the mother had her own personal prophet. Now, the mother wanted to have nothing to do with the scripture. Scripture was about as interesting to her as poison is to me. But she wanted a prophet whispering in her ear. So everything changes the moment you can't answer this question. So this is the third week. We're going to do two or three more weeks on this. I'm trying to build a long... I'm sorry, you can't do this in a weekend. Forgive me. You just can't do this, walk up here, hand you something, and we're done. You're going to have to figure out what the apostles were in the Gospels. Who chose the apostles? Jesus himself. During his ministry, he names them, he limits them, they have functions. Last week, we started talking about kinds of apostles. We'll finish that up next Sunday night. Okay? You understand where we're at. This is not a joke, and sorry... I've been in church my whole life. I never heard anybody talk about this. I'm not even sure it used to be important. Because no one would dare say they're an apostle. Well, it's all over America, Jamie. By the way, it's in this area. I can point out the churches. Now we're getting this. The husband's the apostle, and the wife is the prophet. And by the way, how much Bible do they get in those churches? Zero. You don't need Bible. So Christianity is changing. So when you talk to people, this is the reason. Well, the Apostle Paul, verse 1. Paul, an apostle. And then he has all these negatives. Not of man. He wants you to know beyond any question he did not become an apostle because someone trained him to be an apostle at the Bethel Church in California. where you can go to school to be a prophet or an apostle. Really. It's not of man, neither by man. It doesn't come from a man, neither through a man. But, strong adversative, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Well, this section is then going to talk about things about his apostleship. If you would look with me to verse 15, one of the most beautiful passages where Paul talks about his salvation and his calling. He says, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I, and here's where salvation, Dr. Mary was talking, once you get saved, you automatically have purpose. That I might preach him among the heathen, that's a bad word, Gentiles, nations, ethnic peoples, not the Jews. Immediately he says, I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. Meaning what? We're back to verse 1. He did not, Paul is the only guy that's different. He keeps saying, my call was directly from the Lord, really just like those guys. With the exception was, I didn't follow Christ for the three and a half years. It was direct. So I didn't go to Jerusalem. He says in the latter part of the verse, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus, which is still where Damascus has always been, Syria. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and I abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. We'll talk about him next Sunday night, Lord willing. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria. That Syria is still where Syria is. Cilicia is no longer there. Everyone look up here. If you look at a map, if you notice how the coast goes up, and look. And when the coast does this, that little bend, modern-day Turkey, is Cilicia. That was a Roman province in Turkey, what we call Turkey today, part of Asia Minor at the time. That's where Paul was born. Okay? He says, I went there to Cilicia and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. And then, of course, you have historically and theologically one of the two most important verses in the Bible for certain knuckleheads that teach multiple gospels. The moment you hear, Noel, Filipinos, forgive me, teaching that there are multiple gospels. Peter had one, Paul had one. This is all through elements of the Philippines. Here's your problem. Paul disagrees. So I want you to look at me. Who do you believe, the preacher or Paul? Verse 22, 3, I mean. But they, meaning the churches in Judea, they had heard only that he, Paul, which had persecuted us in times past, now preaches what? The faith, which once he destroyed. Folks, they didn't have multiple gospels. They had one gospel, okay? And they glorified God in me. We're going to talk about apostles. I'm going to try to bring this down where we can at least get started, and then we will quickly go through some of this. And we will start, and I should have talked to somebody to get my story straight because she doesn't do well when I put her on the spot. But this happens on a regular basis. What is an apostle's job? She's my apostle. Anyhow, let's pray, please. Father, thank you for this time. May you bless our time together. May this be a good night, just simple ideas. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, last Sunday night, we talked about various kinds of apostles. The first apostle, of course, is the Lord Jesus himself, which was sent by the Father. I said last Sunday night, everyone look at me, get this simple. An apostle is always someone sent. God, can you say that? Someone sent or sent out or sent forth. They are someone that are sent as a representative. So when the Lord Jesus was sent from the Father, he represents the Father to save mankind. That's only used a little bit, but the ideas are there. But the Lord Jesus chose some people. He chose them and he sent them out, or sent them forth, King James. He sent them as a representative. They represent him directly. They are sent officially, and they are sent with or on an official mission. We also talked last Sunday night about apostles of Christ, which is a phrase you find in Peter and in Paul. We talked about apostles of the church, meaning a church could choose people to be a local messenger to a conference or whatever. We talked about the 12. Now, let's go back to my illustration. It happened in the last month. I know you're not going to remember, I don't think. Have you happened to you? She has to call about insurance for me, or drugs or something. Have you had this happen? And they say to you, are you on the list? Do you have permission? Why? Because what if my friend, the narco traficantes here, decided to say, Pastor Warren wants me to be his official representative? That's a scary thought, actually. By the way, is she my official? Yes. I'm like, really? We have to tell people that? Have you ever called for your wife or for your husband, if you're married, and they say, sorry, but you're not on the form? Well, how do you get on the form? How do you do this? They don't want to give you information. What is that called? HIPAA laws or something? But there's all levels of this craziness. By the way, look at me, please. Apostle is not a joke. It's not religion. It's nobody's warm, fuzzy feelings. An apostle was someone that's official. Look at me. They're on the list, and they were to represent Christ officially. In about 3 weeks or so, we'll get into specific. What was their real purpose? And by the way, it's not a joke. It's right in the scripture. They had very specific jobs. Wow. So, we talked last week about the 12, an official group chosen by Christ, called by name, chose as a group of 12. There wasn't 50 of them. Chose during his earthly ministry, and they will be honored throughout eternity. Well, tonight we're going to focus on two others real quick, and then focus on the last concept about the Apostle Paul and another idea. We also have, not very common in the New Testament, found twice in 2 Corinthians. This is where all of this conversation starts. Paul, in the King James, uses the phrase, and all of this goes together, the very chiefest apostles, King James says. The word in Greek is huperleon, which means those that excel, or those that are, I like the term, super-duper apostles. Two different times, Paul mentions them. 2 Corinthians 11:5, 2 Corinthians 12:11. Now, number six, this is the important thing for you. They weren't real apostles. So even in the first century, there were some people that somehow thought, folks, we're better than Paul. We're better than the apostle of Christ. We are the super apostles. I don't know what they call themselves, but they wanted to elevate themselves. And Paul is very clear that this group of people are not real apostles. In your notes, chapter 11, verse 13, for such, meaning those super apostles that he mentioned in verse 5 and that he's going to mention again in chapter 12, for such are what? Pseudo-apostoloi, false apostles. They are not the real thing. Deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is of no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. We only really get this one other time, Revelation 2. When Paul writes to the first church at Ephesus, he says this, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which... So there must have been some that said they were apostles and are what? Not. And you have found them to be liars. Now, everyone look at me.
If in the first century, the last book in the Bible, the Christians, look at me, Christians could look at people and say, you're a false apostle, you're a liar, how would they be able to try them? Because an apostle was someone chosen by Christ, spent the time with Christ, yes or no? So when I hear people call themselves apostles, I don't know why we even for one second consider this foolishness. You had to be chosen by Christ during his earthly ministry. You would have to be around 2,000 years old. It's just foolishness. But we have people that say, oh, yes. By the way, these Christians were able to say, no, you're not an apostle. We tested you. We determined you couldn't be an apostle, no matter what you say. All right, we'll come back to that in another time. I say in your notes real quickly, in the New Testament age and following, few claimed to be an apostle. It was not real common. In the New Testament, the term pseudo-apostoloi is used one time, false apostle. Why? Look at me, friend. Why were there so few apostles? How do you lie about that? You know, it's kind of hard to say, yeah, I meet those qualifications. You can't. So you don't have a lot of people saying they're apostles. In the New Testament, you actually find the word false prophets a lot more because the requirements were a little less stringent. You didn't have to be someone that had been chosen by Christ during life or the Apostle Paul. You didn't have to be like that. So that's the reason there were so few. You just couldn't meet the qualifications. It was impossible. Well, we come now to the next obvious one, the Apostle Paul. And I'm being very precise. The Apostle Paul is unique. The Apostle Paul was sent not by Christ, but by the what? What's the difference? Look at me, friend. Everybody else spent the time with Christ. The other men were chosen with Christ during his life, during the living Christ, before the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. Paul, sometime the next year or so, was saved on the road to Damascus. The risen Christ chose him uniquely. Paul always says this, and it's very important that he was sent out by the risen Christ. He didn't preach a different gospel. He didn't say different things in your notes. By the way, friend, I'm going to keep hammering on how many gospels there are. How many gospels are there? Are you sure? Well, we have a lot of people thinking there's many gospels. It's a weird world. 1 Corinthians 15:7, I'm going to focus on words that maybe you have focused on or haven't. Paul is talking about the gospel. Jesus died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and he rose again according to the Scripture, and that he was seen, his appearances. Verse 7 says, and after that, he was seen of James. James is an outlier. We'll talk about next week. James is not James the Apostle, brother of John. James is not James the Lesser that we know nothing about. This is James, Jesus' half-brother. We'll talk about that next week. Then, of all the apostles, and look at the next phrase. What's the second word? And what? Everyone look at me. Paul is saying the last person that saw the resurrected Christ is? Because, Jamie, I'm speaking to Jamie because you're familiar with this craziness. You're going to have people that say, I went to heaven and saw Jesus. Well, according to Paul, he was the last guy. And last of all, it's very clear, I'm the last guy. He's the last apostle. He's the last person that saw the resurrected Christ. So I'm sorry, I don't believe people's visions. No, I don't. He says, and last of all, he was seen of me also. You have this very strange term, which I might deal with in the future, as one born out of due time. I think he explains what that means to some degree in the next verse. For I am least of the apostles. Then I am not meet. It's not appropriate for me to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. That bothered Paul his whole life. Verse 11 is theologically and historically another verse that you need to have in your mind. 1 Corinthians 15:3, 4, 5, etc. talks about the gospel. Verse 11 tells you, everyone look up here. Let's get the back. It's really simple. Paul says this is the gospel. What is the gospel? How that Christ died for your sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again according to the scripture, and that he was seen. Well, he was seen specifically of the 12, the ones that had, well, the 11 and the other ones, but they've been with him and other people. And as he works through this, when he comes to verse 11, he concludes the first 11 verses about the gospel by saying, look what it says, and get the pronouns, therefore, whether it were I think that means Paul, what do you think? Or they, who's the they? The other apostles. Whether it's me, Paul, or they, the other apostles, so what? We preach, and so ye believed. That's the Corinthian church. So you have, beyond any question, I don't want to bore you. I had a man in St. Louis that was part of the Ruckman idiots. And some of you have no idea, and if you've never heard the name, don't ever remember it. Peter Ruckman taught multiple gospels, and he was one of the many cult people. I showed him the verse. I showed him the passage. Look up here, because I'm not nice about some things. I am a very gentle person on many things of debate. But you get to the gospel, look at me. It's either here or it's there. And I showed him this, and I said, am I going to believe Paul or Pete? Peter Ruckman. And he believed Pete. Did you just hear me? I've shown this in the Philippines to pastors that just got infuriated. I'm like, Paul is telling you, the apostles and he preached the same gospel. So did Galatians 1:23. He used to destroy the faith, now he preaches the faith. Same thing. There's only one gospel. Pretty straightforward, I think. In your notes, we'll probably pick up on this in the future, but I think there's three characteristics of the Apostle Paul. The first characteristic, he is the last. Whatever that means, he is the last of the group. He's the last one to see the resurrected Christ. Last of all, he is the one that concludes this whole group of apostles. He is also least. Why is he least? We'll look at some of these verses, friends, but it bothered Paul deeply. It's Dr. Marriott mentioned it's in the book of Acts like three times, four times. It's in the epistles. Paul was broken because he had been a persecutor. I want to ask you a question. Do you think you would ever forget he helped people be executed? You think you ever get over that? I don't think so. So he was last, he was least, and this is important, yet like the other apostles. Not identical, but like. What do you mean by like? Well, we'll talk about that more in future weeks. He wasn't identical because he wasn't the group that was chosen during Jesus' lifetime. He was as one born out of due time, abnormally born. There's debate after debate about the exact meaning of that word. But basically, he wasn't chosen during Jesus' lifetime. Everybody look at me. All the other apostles knew this. All the other apostles had no problem with this. They knew Paul was one of them, but his calling was a little different. We'll talk about that in future weeks. Friends, I give you all these verses, not because I had nothing else to do. I'll let you read these on your own. These are verses that Paul talks about his persecution. Chapter 7, remember, when Stephen was stoned, guess who was there? Look at me in the eyes. Well, let's look at the verse. They cast him out of the city, this is Stephen, and stoned him. Do you all understand stoning? Stoning somebody to death. And it says, they laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Saul may or may not have thrown a stone, but Saul was one of the witnesses at that time. Chapter 8 immediately picks up on Saul, Paul, same name. By the way, I'm going to dispel something, so don't get angry. Saul and Paul was always his name. He didn't change names when he got saved. That's all religious talk. Those many people had three or four names because of three or four languages. Saul, Paul, was part of the process of persecuting Christians. Terrible thought. Acts 22. We'll just pick up there real quick. We'll talk about this next week. This passage is highly overlooked by many people in about Paul's calling. It says, "Men and brethren, hear ye my defense, which I make unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue," the dialect of Hebrew, which may or may not have been Hebrew, it probably was Aramaic, a cousin, very closely related, "they kept the more silence and said," he then makes a statement about his childhood. We will pick up on this next week, but it's important that you get it. He said this, "I verily am a man which am a Jew," and then it gives three verbals, "born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia." So it tells you where he was born. Then it says, "brought up in this city," which tells you he was born in Tarsus, but he did not grow up there. He grew up in what was this city? Jerusalem. "At the feet of Gamaliel, and taught, trained, according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, zealous towards God, as ye are all this day." He goes on to say, "and I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom I also received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished." Chapter 26 gives a terrible, oh my goodness. He says this, another time giving his testimony. This is what Dr. Marriott mentioned, Herod Agrippa II. "I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which things I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice," the King James says, "against them." Look at me, friend. I don't have anything in my pocket. But in the ancient world, they had a stone. Sometimes they had two stones, different color stones. And you would actually put your pebble out. That word means a pebble. He voted for the death of Christians. Now, if you have any understanding of humanity, you never get over that. The rest of Paul's life, did he feel guilty? I don't know. I think he felt crushed. Guilt is probably the wrong word. I think you never get over the fact that, yes, I'm saved, and yes, God has saved me and liberated me from my sin and my slavery and bondage. But I have this past. I voted for people to die. That's tough. Galatians says the same thing. Next page, please. Philippians says the same thing. 1 Timothy says the same thing. So when you deal with the Apostle Paul, you're always dealing with someone that's a little different. He's not exactly the same as the other group. He did see the risen Christ. He was a witness of the resurrection in that sense. He was called by Christ, but he was not born properly, so to speak. Well, number 8, they were apostles with the same message, but various missions. I have all that Greek in there because I like to see Greek. Paul, an apostle. Paulos apostolos. Not from men. I didn't get my calling from any person, neither by men. Either people didn't help me become it. I don't get my authority from someone. I didn't become one because someone helped me or trained me. But by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Cannot be more emphatic. Paul was unique. We've already talked about that. In verse 17, he says, "I didn't go up to Jerusalem to talk to the apostles to find out how to become an apostle because I was called directly. I didn't even have the source with them." However, we'll just go down to verse 23. Again, "but the churches in Judea, the Christians in the churches, had heard only that he, Paul, which persecuted us in times past, now preacheth the faith, same faith, which once he destroyed. He preached exactly what the other Christians believed that he had killed and persecuted. Galatians 2 talks about when he finally visits the apostles. It says, but of these who seem to be somewhat, whatever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. The other apostles didn't make him a better apostle. He was what he was because of direct calling. Verse 7. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel, and you got to read this in the whole context, not just one line. When they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision, meaning the gospel that was going to go throughout the world to Gentiles, like most of us in this room. Most of us are just ethnic peoples. When they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcised was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for, he now explains it, he that wrought or worked effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. Basically had different spheres of influence, different callings, different purposes, different goals in the sense of who we were going after. Verse 9, and when James, that's Jesus' half-brother, Cephas, that's Peter, Simon Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. That we should, here's the gospel of the uncircumcision, that we should go unto the heathen or the ethnic groups, and they unto the what? The Jewish people. Just a different location, same gospel, same preaching, same teaching. Well, look at me, friend. They still had problems. Do you know people have problems? Do Christians have problems? Friends, there's still problems. Look, you go into the book of Acts, you're going to quickly find something if you're just thinking. When you get up into the Acts 20s and you meet a guy named James, which is the Lord's half-brother, he was very, look at me, loyally Jewish from Palestine. Which means he wasn't real crazy about other cultures, other languages. So there was some conflict. How do you put together these? We come here every week. For you, Lake County is normal. Lake County is not a normal place. And I'm not talking about that I am al pastor. Thank you, brother. I'm talking about you have many ethnicities show up here. Friends, ethnicities have differences, and they don't always like each other. And oftentimes it has nothing to do with skin color. It has something to do with everything. People don't always get along. So you have James that's real big on, may I say it this way, being very traditionally Jewish in the first century. Then you have Paul, not so big on being traditionally Jewish. Now they both believe the same gospel, but there's still going to be some sparks every once in a while. That's what you're going to find. And here's where you have some of that in Galatians. We're going to read it quickly. Only they would that we, Barnabas and Paul, and of course all of Paul's associates, should remember the poor. By the way, that's 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, that's 1 Corinthians 16, the offerings that Paul was raising all over the world, the Roman, Greco-Roman world, to send back. He's always sending money back. They said, we're in total agreement. We would just like you to raise money for the poor folks here because of the circumstances. So, only they would that we should remember the poor. The same which I also was, and this is old English, I wanted to do and was prepared to do. That's what I'm going to do. Verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch in Syria, by the way, which is where Paul was sent out of. He wasn't sent out of Jerusalem, but Antioch in Syria. I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that, certain came from James. Who was James? Jesus' half-brother. He did eat with the Gentiles. Look at me, friends. Have you been to another country that's different than America?
Have you found out that they actually have, just see, here's dumb Americans. We're fixated on skin color. You go all around the world, people have all kinds of differences. Sometimes even within a country, they don't like each other. I don't have time to discuss this. They have a little different customs, a little different cultural. Some people will not. And the Jewish people from Palestine, look at me, friend. We're happy that you Gentiles want to get saved. But we don't want to eat with you. We don't like you that much. I don't like that food. You want us to eat what? I was talking to somebody recently. You'll like this. Somebody said, what is chicharrón? And I said, really good stuff for you. It's low in cholesterol. I said, I hated to tell them what it was. And their response was, ooh. And I'm like, why are you ooing? You grew up in a place that eats just as ugly of stuff. Folks, we used to butcher a pig in the intestines. We didn't make what menudo out of it. You cleaned it on both sides a couple times and you stuffed it with sausage. Come on, friend. Everybody has weird, but listen, oh, I don't want to be, we actually had, forgive me, I'm being a little off topic. We had a white idiot came to this church for 15 minutes with his Filipino wife. She's as crazy as him, by the way. And he forbid her for cooking Filipino food. Of course, my first question is, then why did you marry a Filipina if you didn't want Filipina food? That's ridiculous. But my point is, conflict happens. Customs, differences. Who sits at the head of the table? Who talks? There's just millions of this stuff. Well, you had the real traditional Jewish people. Then it's like, you Gentiles, we're happy you're saved. We're glad you're saved. Stay saved over there. Well, you got a problem. Let's read this. It says, verse 12, for before that, certain came from James. He did eat with the Gentiles. Peter did. But when they were come, here's Peter, by the way. He should have known better. Have you read Acts chapter 10? When he sees this vision three times? But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself. Here's Peter afraid. Fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews, this is Old English, dissembled. That's just a word they played a hypocrite. They dissembled likewise with him, inasmuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. You get the Greek word, hypocrisy. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, that all people are included in the body of Christ, regardless of your background, habits, etc., I said to Peter before them all, and by the way, can you imagine confronting an apostle? Ooh. But when I saw that they walked not according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature, meaning birth, and not sinners of the Gentiles. And then he concludes with this unbelievably great passage. Knowing that a man or a woman is not justified. He's talking to Peter. Peter and Paul didn't have different gospels. We're not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Probably meaning faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. Why? For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Which is exactly 1 Corinthians 15. I want everyone to look at me. We're going to fill these blanks and we'll be done tonight. I like the practicality. Can I say this to you? Please look up here. There are people in this room that are so fixated on themselves and what they eat, they're afraid to eat with anybody else. I remember our first trip to Mexico from missionaries from Mexico. When we go places, we just eat. So we were in Mexico, and they're along in a lot of the little cities in the morning. You want something to eat? And there's a little thing, they call them luncheria. They're little, it's just basically a Mexican lady will come out there, and she brings a, it's like she pulls her kitchen with her. And the food is wonderful. And I still remember, do you maybe you weren't there, the reaction to American in Mexico as a missionary. They said, "You eat that food?" Well, I looked at him and was like, well, normal people eat that food. Why would I be different? Now, I'm not crazy, Dada. I'm not driving in the Philippines. And the guy walks up here and wants to give you some water in a water bottle. And by the way, that water bottle's sealed, too. It's sealed. Listen to this. Can you hear it? It's sealed for the fourth time. No, I don't drink that kind of water. But can I say this to you? Some of our problems is we can't get over ourselves. This is an age-long problem. I won't go any further. We could speak on this all night. I don't know why people get so caught up in their little world. In your notes, what do we find? The first thing we find is this: only one gospel. When it comes to the apostles, there's only one gospel. Friend, why do you think Jesus chose this group of men? So they could establish the church, they could present, give us what we call the New Testament, and that we would all know, here is the gospel. The gospel is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's not what John Dowie said right here in Zion, that the gospel, look at me, the gospel was, and he even called it the gospel of Dowie. He just added all kinds of things. You had to not eat pork. That's the gospel, which seems to be directly contrary to the New Testament. And he added all these things, and at the end of this, you also had to believe that John Dowie was Elijah. No, the gospel was established by the apostles. Look at me. And we were handed that. All the apostles preached the same gospel. Next, various spheres of influence. Yes, there was various spheres. They went. They had different purposes, callings. You know, we bring missionaries in here. This summer, we'll have some of our missionaries back. Unfortunately, the Steins will not be here, I found out this week. I want them to be here because I love them, and we support them some, but the Steins can't get passports for the two children they adopted in Peru because your government is still on vacation from COVID. Did you hear me? 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, I sent it to you. 51% of the workers in the state of Illinois are now back, government workers are now back in their offices. Where's the other 49%? But my point is what? The Steins have been in Peru for over 20 years, serving, yes? We'll have one of our other families here. They're serving in Cambodia. We'll have Peter Silseth there, the crazy man. He serves all over the place. By the way, everybody has different places and spheres of influence, different skill sets, different practices. Noel, he goes to all kinds of crazy places that I won't go. He's tougher than me. By the way, that's part of what we do, different spheres. And the apostles were the same. In your notes, there was occasional conflict. I want to say this. If there's never conflict, somebody's lying. Did you hear me? If there's never conflict, somebody's lying. They had occasional conflict. We saw it right here in Galatians. Peter did something stupid. By the way, they didn't kick him out of being an apostle. He just got him back in line. That's what we do. Occasional conflict. But never, I say in your notes about the gospel, you never find any conflict that, no, you get saved some other way. Next, more than occasional overlap. It's the funniest thing. Peter was supposed to go to the Jewish people in the diaspora, meaning Jews scattered around. Paul was supposed to go to the Gentiles. Have you read the book of Acts? Paul went both places all the time. Peter went both places. They were always overlapping, even though they had what I would call kind of a ministry. Now, the next stuff, chances are you haven't heard it. It won't hurt you to hear it. It'll just give you a starting place of thinking about some things. It appears from history and in the New Testament. We start with Paul. Paul went to the Gentiles, supposedly. Can I say this? When Paul got in troubles, when he went to the Jews, correct? Don't go to Jerusalem. Don't go to Jerusalem. I'm going to Jerusalem. Then he got in trouble, correct?
Paul was supposed to go primarily to the Gentiles. Again, I've already said it, overlap. I believe there is a gospel that is primarily connected with Paul called the Gospel of Luke, because Luke and Paul traveled together for much of their ministry. Next, we have Peter. Peter's primary job was to go to what we would call diaspora Jewish Jews. I don't like the word Jews because of the way it's used, but it's appropriate. Diaspora Jews. Say, what's the diaspora? Diaspora means to sow something. So if you've ever taken seed and sown it, Jewish people from 722 BC under the Assyrians, 586 BC under the Babylonians, AD 70 under the Romans, 132 to 134, the Bar Kokhba revolt, they were scattered every place. And actually, after the Bar Kokhba revolt, which is after the New Testament, they were not even allowed in the land of promise for a long time. Very few were there. Scattered everything. Here's Peter's job. Peter's job was to go to various Jewish communities and preach the gospel. That was going to be his task. And I'm assuming everybody knows it's called the Gospel of Mark. Because who traveled with him? Mark. Historically, that's what all the early church fathers said. That was kind of the way. By the way, it didn't mean they had a different gospel, but Mark was Peter's traveling companion, and it appears that the Gospel of Mark was primarily drawn from Peter's preaching and teaching. Well, then you have another guy named James. James primarily focused on Palestinian Jews, people in the Promised Land, Judea, Samaria, not so much probably, Galilee, across the Jordan River to the east, Perea, those areas. And he would have had the Gospel of Matthew, which was very focused in that area, and that's where we have most of the information. Then there's the fellow named John. John went to Ephesus, and John pretty much went everywhere else. And, of course, his gospel was, does anybody know? John. Wow, you caught on right away. Everybody look at me. If you've never heard that, it's not anything important except this. Please look at me and we're done. The apostles were people who were sent. They were sent officially. They were sent on a mission. And all of the apostles, whether the 12, whether Paul, they had places they went. Paul was supposed to go to the Gentiles. He did a lot of that. But Paul always disobeyed his own teaching. Because every place he went to the Jewish synagogue first, and then he went to the Gentiles. Peter was supposed to go to the diaspora Jews, but he went to the Gentiles. Fact is, you find him in the same places. Because Antioch was Paul's hometown, but when Peter came there is when he compromised. They weren't like this. Peter's over here, Paul's over here. No, they were supposed to, but they intermixed because they were all believers, one faith, one doctrine, one hope, all of them in Christ, so there was overlap. But basically, you had a fourfold division. And tonight, that's what we have. Let's pray, please. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together. In Christ's name, amen.